The Detroit Public Schools are one step closer to a financial rescue after the state Senate voted on Tuesday to approve a $720 million plan to restructure the troubled district. At the center of the legislation is a plan to split the district into two distinct entities. The old DPS would exist to pay down hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, while the new district would focus on students' education. I talked to two of the women keeping a close eye on Detroit's changing educational landscape about what these changes would mean for public education in the city. Sarah Reckow is an assistant professor in the Department of Political Science at Michigan State University who studies urban education policy. Tanya Allen is the CEO of the Skillman Foundation, as well as the director of the Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children. Tanya Allen says without the crippling debt, DPS will have the chance to reimagine itself, but she cautions that legislation won't solve all of the district's problems.
So it doesn't fix education in Detroit. It really does now require Detroiters to figure out how we're going to solve and fix the education conundrums in our community. The second thing that it does, it returns control back to an elected school board, which really will allow Detroiters to have a voice in public education. So right now in the city of Detroit, there are three different entities or controllers of education, and there are no local control or democratic process in that. So the EAA is an appointed board. Most of the authorizers who determine where schools open and close in our city are appointments predominantly by the governor. The other thing that is in this package of bills is a Detroit Education Commission, which really looks at the entire ecosystem of schools in Detroit. It's the whole marketplace. So we want to look at how schools who are in the EAA, schools in DPS, and schools in charter schools who are opening and closing in Detroit, all of them without any coordination, how we create some local control and coordination to that.
The Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children, of which you were a key part, released a report about a year ago that charted a path forward for DPS. How well do you think the Senate package meets the goals you laid out in that report?
Well, I think it meets some of the basic goals around making sure that the EAA is transitioned out, that we really build a stronger state function around that. It deals with the debt. It deals with local control. It deals with the DEC. We also asked for a few other things, which included, you know, how we engage families at the local level, really making sure that there are people engaged in the decision-making process. It's not there. And then there were a ton of academic reforms that we recommended that just did not get the kind of attention as the power and the money, power and control get. Those kinds of things did not get picked up in this legislation. And we're not necessarily sure that it should have been picked up in the legislation. These are the things that I think Detroiters must own and design and execute.
Sarah Reckow, I'll turn to you. The Senate package now moves to the House, but it cannot be taken up legally until next week, which is when the legislature is scheduled to take a two-week spring break. Now, last week, the House passed a bill that would give DPS $50 million just to keep the district open through the end of the school year, but it did not take on any of the bills dealing with the long-term plans for the district. What do you think will be the political sticking points between the bills the Senate has passed and what representatives in the House want to see?
Well, it does seem that the Detroit Education Commission is a key political sticking point and has been for quite some time.
You know, governance.
Yes, the governance, absolutely. And it was proposed by Governor Snyder. It was part of the Coalition for Future of Detroit School Children plan. And it has been, I mean, even as the Senate bill passed, it's been singled out for critique, especially by charter school advocates. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to be fighting that as the House considers this.
One of the interesting things about what's going on in the legislature right now is that you have Senator Jeff Hansen and other outstate legislators outside of Detroit working on and supporting this bill. Is there similar support in the general public outstate? What do Michiganders who aren't living in Detroit think about the plans to save DPS from bankruptcy?
So we just saw results released through the State of the State survey through the IPSR here at Michigan State, which show that there really is support for a financial rescue plan for Detroit. And it extends beyond Detroit, and it actually extends across the political spectrum. So the overall support is 66% of Michiganders support financial rescue for Detroit. But you see it among Democrats, among independents, among Republicans. In fact, it's a plurality of support, 49 in support versus 40% opposed. So in effect, I mean, I think these legislators are responding to where Michiganders are. And it's not, you know, it's not isolated to one part of the state.
Tanya, as we mentioned earlier, probably the biggest change in the Senate package is splitting DPS into two entities, one that exists solely to pay down debt while the other deals with the business of actually educating kids. So if this passes the House as well, what would it mean on the ground and in classrooms?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that it's going to matter is that it will mean that the debt of the district is not on the backs of school children. And it also will allow the district to rectify some of the expense challenges which create inefficiency. So there is definitely a DPS tax on every contract they have because they are not timely in their payments, et cetera. And then you also have the challenges with your teachers. So teachers have not had raises, quite honestly, since 1999. Their salaries have decreased, as well as they have a tip payment that they where they basically loan the district $9,000 to $10,000, and the district is still holding that money. So you have a pretty disgruntled and disrespected teaching force that's at the district. And I raise that in particular because this isn't about money for teachers. It's about making sure that teachers are deeply engaged, that they're deeply invested, and they feel committed to a district because the district is committed to them. And that when you have teachers who are engaged and focused on children, then you're going to have a better outcome. And so I think that the finances will take away a ton of stressors that really are impacting the district in lots of negative ways.
Sarah, another player in Detroit public education, which isn't getting quite as much attention right now, is the Education Achievement Authority. That's the state-led district running 15 of Detroit's most troubled schools, and it was the subject of an op-ed last Sunday by you in the Detroit Free Press. Eastern Michigan University, which partnered with the state and the DPS to create the EAA, voted in February to sever ties with the district. In your op-ed, you seem to suggest the turnaround district was doomed from the start. Do you still feel that way? And why, if so?
I do argue that there were some decisions made early on in its design and governance that was not particularly transparent, not particularly responsive to Detroiters and to the families in the schools. It was an appointed board. It was primarily accountable to the governor. And additionally, you know, the initial plan for these schools was a fairly kind of top-down reform plan to implement this personalized learning strategy, relying on a great deal of technology to implement it going forward with a fairly new teaching staff, kind of from the get-go, from the first year that they were operating all of these schools. It was extremely ambitious, and it was very unproven when they began, and they had a very rocky start.
So a constructive lesson from all of this would be what? Did you see anything in the EAA that did work?
I think it's really important to look at it very carefully and learn a variety of lessons, that there could be some good lessons and some bad lessons as well. But I would still argue that going forward, you know, there's some important lessons to learn about what not to do, whether it's the idea that you know, craft this large scheme and try to implement it without step-by-step mechanisms to make sure what you're doing is really going to work in the schools, to make sure that your staff is prepared and trained to do the program that you're implementing, and that to have local buy-in and support for a program. It's just not very effective to use such a top-down and non-transparent governing system. And in effect, you could, you know, draw the same analogy to the EM policy.
Sarah, I want to circle back to the Detroit Education Commission. The plan to have a board that's able to approve school closings and openings is something that some charter advocates say stacks the deck against charters in favor of traditional public schools. Do you think that's true?
Well, if you look at the bill passed by the Senate, it explicitly states that three members of the board will be appointed from representatives from charters, from public school academies, including one parent. And then similarly, three from traditional public schools, and then one person who they say is sort of an expert on school accountability. So that suggests strong representation from mm-hmm. charter schools on this board. And frankly, in a lot of parts of the country, locally elected school boards are actually authorizers. So in Los Angeles, the locally elected school board authorizes all of the charter schools. So I would actually say Detroit specifically, but Michigan more generally, we are a bit unusual in how many organizations we have involved in these decisions.
What role, more generally, what role do you see charters playing in a new Detroit public education system?
Well, hopefully a constructive one. I think, you know, there's an opportunity here for a lot of these stakeholders, including charters, to start to see their role in Detroit as part of a Detroit educational community, and that these are all schools that serve Detroit children, and that it's not charter.
That's not there now?
No, I don't think so. I think very often the debate is framed as charter versus public schools, unfortunately. And frankly, if you look at a lot of other major urban districts around the country, charter schools are performing better than our schools here. And while the charters might, you know, often try to compare themselves to DPS schools, which we know have been hobbled financially for many years now, they should be upping their game. They can do better. And I hope that this puts pressure on them to really look more at accountability and excellence as charter schools.
Sarah Reckow is an assistant professor in the Department of Political Science at Michigan State. We're talking about the shifting educational landscape of Detroit and what bills being debated in the state legislature would mean for the future of the city's public education system. We're also joined by Tanya Allen, president and CEO of the Skillman Foundation and director of the Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children. Tanya, to what extent does the success of a new district in Detroit depend on attracting students and families back to the city?
I think the success definitely depends on that. But I think the success of the district first depends on a high-quality educational experience. And I think ultimately the reason that the district has not been able to prevail is that it's not had steady leadership, which is not its own doing. It's been making decisions predominantly based on finances rather than academics. Again, not its doing. And then lastly, it does not have a strong academic plan that would convince parents and families that, yes, this is a place I want to fully entrust my children. I think that the district has not fully utilized its assets. It has lots of great things. Some of the best schools in the city of Detroit are Detroit Public Schools, both the traditional system and the charter schools. Yet they don't talk about that. They're not replicating those models in the way, and they're not engaging their teaching staff, which are really talented folks and who have been committed to this district, but are disgruntled, as I talked about before, for good reason. They haven't engaged them in really developing a plan in which they will address these challenges head on.
A final question for both of you. I'll start with you, Tanya. The plans in the House and Senate have been described by some as basically a $720 million Band-Aid. There are certainly lots of challenges ahead. What do you think will be the biggest obstacles facing a new DPS?
Well, I would say that the biggest obstacle facing a new DPS is believing that Lansing is fixing their problems. So this package does create what I call triage. It keeps the patient alive, and it's at this point that we have to really invest in the transition so that we can get to a transformation. And that transition is really hard work. It's the kind of work of engaging the community, engaging parents, engaging young people in their education, enlisting the teachers to redesign the curriculum, and to name a few, key priorities that we and indicators that we really want to move, and coordinating the community behind that so that we all have transparency on what those goals are and transparency on whether there's progress or not. So I think the biggest challenge for DPS is that we got to suspend the disbelief that it can get better, and we also are going to have to work really hard to do it.
Sarah Reckow, what do you think? Biggest obstacle facing a new DPS?
I think, yes, that trust is a very big issue across, whether it's across traditional public schools and charter schools. And then the biggest issue is, I think, as Tanya stated earlier, that this is really only the beginning, and that the hard work ahead is actually improving things academically for all of these schools. And that is going to require all hands on deck. It's going to require collaboration, and it's going to require persistence. It's not going to, part of the issue with something like the EAA was this idea that you're going to, suddenly see improvement in 2 years. And it's a very long road, and everyone has to be prepared for that and prepared to stay with it.
We've been talking about the future of the Detroit Public Schools and how bills being debated in the state legislature right now might play a role in shaping that future. Our guests have been Assistant Professor of Political Science at MSU, Sarah Reckow, and Tanya Allen, CEO of the Skillman Foundation and Director of the Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children. Sarah, Tanya, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And your feedback and suggestions are always welcome here on Current State. Email us, currentstate@wkar.org. Coming up, from continental droughts to failed city water systems, Charles Fishman's been studying and forecasting global water challenges for years. The author of The Big Thirst, The Secret Life and Turbulent Future of Water, talks to WKAR's Kirk Heinze, coming up on Current State.